Lawlessness in the land. Is this the new normal?
And then we think of this. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 24, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jen is joined by a radio favorite, Michelle Bachmann, who ran for President of the United States in 2012. There is turmoil in the land and unrest in the world. As the world grows darker, can the church shine more brightly? Or is this a part of the predicted lawlessness spoken of in the Bible? Now, here is today's programming.
So as you have probably noticed, our society, our cities, our states, our culture, our country, and maybe your country if you live outside the United States, our civilization is being radically transformed right before our very eyes, and nothing is stopping this. And that's what concerns all of us as remnant believers, is we see no one standing up to this. We see no one putting the stops on it. Politicians from both sides of the aisle do nothing about it. They're silent, or they're either actively or aggressively pushing it. We see our media pushing it. We see our schools pushing it, the colleges and universities, Hollywood, entertainment, all factors of society, and especially the media, pushing this radical transformation of our civilization on planet Earth. These last two events, coronavirus crisis, and now these race riots that are popping up with Antifa and Black Lives Matter and other organizations that are communistic in nature and taking advantage of a situation so they can push their radical communism and anarchy and whatnot. These things have been an accelerator to push the plan forward to get to this lawless system. It's like it's put it in hyperspeed, hyperdrive. They've got the gas pedal all the way on the floor, and they're pushing it, going 150 miles an hour.
And welcome to the program. That was the voice of Pastor Brandon Holthouse, Rock Harbor Church in Bakersfield, Prophecy Update, because I felt that little clip would set the stage for the hour ahead. In early April, I featured today's guest on air with me, Michelle Bachmann. The world has changed substantially since last March. Now we're at the end of June, and it has morphed even more. In the next week, it could do the same, make a sharp turn in the wrong direction. What seemed extreme 10 days ago quickly has become the new normal. Both Michelle and I find ourselves, quite frankly, we live at ground zero, the Twin Cities. You all know that some of the racial issues began here right after Memorial Day, late May, when George Floyd died at the hands of a reckless police officer, and the anger went viral overnight. It went global within a few days. Will Minneapolis set the pace for all across America? That is, our city council now voted to abolish our police force just a couple of weeks ago. And such recklessness has consequences, and the consequences very likely will come to your neighborhood here eventually. And that is the point of this hour. There's kind of a mood that is spreading everywhere. It's lawlessness, it's recklessness, and more than anything, it is strong delusion. Plus, we still have COVID-19. That scenario is also uncertain and is in flux, and there's talk of a second and a third wave. Is that for real, or is that just hype? We have an economy that is somewhat of a disaster, and that's after 3 years of prosperity. Then we have an election in just a few months. So I'm going to talk about that and more. And Michelle Bachmann, welcome back to the studio of Understanding the Times Radio.
Hi, Jan. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, when you were here, it was early April, and you and I were very concerned about a lot of things. And one of the items of concern was the U.S. economy. In other words, you can't shut down business for weeks and then months and expect businesses to survive. And the lockdowns had huge consequences, economic consequence, despair, suicides all up for several months. People couldn't even gather in church. Now some can, but with a lot of limits. What are your thoughts on COVID-19, the shutdown, the economy, now 3 months after we talked early April?
Well, as a person looks back at these unprecedented events that we first related and tried to address and interpret, it's far beyond what we could have even anticipated in early April. A study just came out that I heard of this morning that said that $1 trillion in economic activity is estimated to have been lost from the American GDP. That's an enormous amount of money. And then if you add on the fact that there were estimates that $9 trillion were committed to be spent, whether it was through pumping by the Federal Reserve or the checks that businesses received, this is a negative on the balance sheet that has never happened before in American history. Nothing has ever happened like this before. And you couple that with this no end in sight to the coronavirus, where powers that be, the two geniuses that walked into the president's office, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, who went into the president's office with one of the worst computer models ever done. They told the president that over 2 million Americans would be dead from COVID-19. They had to recant that model almost as soon after the president had to make the extraordinary decision to lock the country down.
Well, and I think Americans were willing to have it locked down for 2 weeks, let's say.
Isn't that what we were told?
Two weeks. Became a month, and then that became months.
With no explanation.
With no explanation.
Because we were told that we all had to stay inside for 2 weeks because that's how long the incubation period was. So we all thought we can hunker down, people can watch Netflix for 2 weeks, and then we will go back to life. We'll take a big hit, but we'll get through this.
25,000 businesses are not coming back. A lot of them are in malls. Other small businesses that we'll never know their names are never coming back. And I think this was advice coming from, sorry to sound disrespectful here, but an aging infectious disease specialist with ties to Bill Gates, and this would be Dr. Fauci, turned the president to, again, these so-called models that couldn't have been more wrong.
Absolutely. And here in Minnesota, our state model was probably the most wrong. I had read an article that said that we were off by a factor of 17. They had estimated that Minnesota would be that much more off than any other state in the country. Here we are in Minnesota. We've had something less than 300 deaths that were not related to nursing home deaths. It's incredible when you think that the state of South Dakota, Iowa, Arkansas, these various states never shut down. There's absolutely no different an outcome from the states that completely shut down versus those who did not shut down.
All right, but
and so that's why everyone is saying, this feels like we were not told the truth here. Yeah. We all willingly complied. There was no protesting of any kind until after we'd all been locked up in our homes for 2 months. And then people said, wait a minute, who's the expert here? Everything we were told didn't come true. Yes, people died from this. Yes, there were tragedies, but at what price? Over 42 million Americans thrown out of work. Mm-hmm. As you said, 28,000 businesses that won't open. When the Mall of America just opened up recently, of the 500 businesses, only 150 opened. This is remarkable what's happened. We are not going to even be able to catalog for a year or more the economic devastation. And so one has to ask the question, why did this happen? It looks like it was intentional from China, but why? It may have had political implications behind this, and that should be deeply concerning to every American. Why would someone want to disrupt the greatest economic expansion ever in the history of the United States when every American from every age, every racial segment, every income strata was benefiting from this economy? After 3.5 years, we were exploding. We couldn't get out of our own way of success. All of a sudden, it came to a crashing stop.
Right, but when America prospers, the whole world prospers.
That's right.
When America is stable, the whole world at least is somewhat more stable because they lean on us, they look to us. America has gone extremely wobbly here. And I go back to, and you and I have talked about this, is the instilling of fear throughout the world.
Yes.
My goodness, we've got a fear-based society right now. We've got, dare I say, mask mania has kind of gone crazy because, again, people are fearful. They're going to catch it. If they wear the mask, they may not catch it. Are we going to have a fear-based election in November? Is that part of the purpose?
Yes, I think that's the goal. We went from having the happiest people that we've had for years to a poll that came out yesterday that said people are the unhappiest they've been in 50 years. Well, you can see why.
Yes.
People have been locked up in solitary confinement for months with virtually no end in sight on very many bases. And then now these rioting. While people were locked up, they were subjected to seeing their cities burned down. Yeah. Within about 24 to 48 hours' time, those who were the looters, the rioters, were essentially granted sainthood. They were canonized. They went from being criminals to now they are people we have to listen to, and it's not their fault, and they're victims. And in fact, we need to give them money. We need to abolish our police departments and let them run our police departments. That's why people are saying this is madness. We need someone to do something because I want my life back in order.
So there was about $9 trillion that went into coronavirus repair.
From the U.S. Treasury.
From the U.S. Treasury. They're printing over $1 billion a day. That's going to result in some pretty serious inflation, for one thing. That's going to be part of the payback. So the printing of money by the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor a reserve, but nonetheless, the terrible consequences to what started out to be, folks, we'll have this under control in a couple of weeks, just hunker down for a couple of weeks and things will come back. Here we are, the end of June. It looks like all of 2020 could be a complete disaster.
It does. And I feel we've had 6 months of our lives stolen from us. We started out the year with this phony impeachment where a Democrat representative of the House, Adam Schiff, was insisting that Donald Trump was a Russian agent and that he had colluded with Vladimir Putin in order to throw the 2016 election. Well, that was laughable on its face, but then it was proved to be false by materials that were declassified, the Mueller report, the Horowitz report. All of this proved that that was a phony impeachment, and it was all done to pull support away from the president because the economy and everything was going so great. They had to do something negative and paint the president with it. Well, then along came this COVID, which guess what? All of these great predictions that we were told, they all proved to not be true. We have dealt with a media that has done nothing but lie to us morning until night. And I think, I hate to say this, Jan, but I think your listeners need to be prepared that from now until Election Day, it's going to be lie, 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 lie. Okay. What I'm seeing from the political side on the ground, the effort now is to make people as miserable and off balance as they can be until the first Tuesday in November, because the party out of power, quite frankly, wants the keys to the world's largest ATM machine, the United States Treasury. And until they get it, they don't care how much suffering the United States goes through. They want those keys back. And they not only want that, they want to control the Department of Justice.
I'm going to transition a little bit here. And folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have Michelle Bachman in studio with me. You've heard her on this program probably a couple dozen times over the years. She served in Congress, Minnesota's 6th District, 2007 to 2015. She's been doing some extremely interesting things since she stepped down from Congress. Sometimes I think, Michelle, you've had a more interesting career since 2015 than you had in Congress, just because the calling on your life has changed a little bit. Let me ask you this question, then I'm going to transition just a little bit, because here we are, said in the intro, we're in Ground Zero, we're in Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Lately, since at least last week of May, looks more like Bosnia in the 1990s or Aleppo, Syria right now.
Oh, and that is not a stretch.
No.
When you say that, that is not a stretch. We've had 1,500 businesses that have been destroyed. We have 5 miles that have been burned or wrecked in the Twin Cities.
We are a disaster zone. And thankfully, you and I have been safe up until this point. We're in areas that are quite safe, and that can change overnight. But let me go back to some of the things we've been talking about here for 15 minutes, and that is we were talking about the COVID issue that's likely not going away, and there's fear being instilled in people, and we're going to have a fear-based election likely in November here of 2020. And we're going to get to all the turmoil and the racial issues here in just a moment. I don't see the Republican leadership, I'm speaking mainly in Washington, pushing back on a lot of things, and I would love for them to be frankly, as outraged as you and I are, and maybe they are, and they're afraid to speak up, but I don't see them holding the banner that I would like them to be holding as far as calming down this fear. In other words, they're very silent, even when it comes to some of the racial issues that we're going to get into. I don't see them standing up and saying, enough is enough. I'd like to see President Trump be a little bit more vocal. Let's bring in more of the National Guard if we have to.
I think you're raising the question that most of your audience is asking,
yeah.
And I can't disagree with you. Where is the voice of opposition? I think on one hand, this has happened at such lightning speed, where we saw the match lit in Minneapolis, and we saw city after city burn to the ground. We didn't know when we watched TV at night which city was going to burn to the ground next, or which police officer was going to be shot, or people who were innocently going to be hurt, because at this point, it's hundreds of people who are continually being hurt by this. But at the same token, we've seen, as I said, a canonization. Those who are doing the looting, the burning,
yeah, yeah.
and the destruction now are considered the morally righteous, and people are literally giving tens of millions and hundreds of millions to radical, what I would call communist and Muslim Brotherhood front groups, because no one thinks that anyone should be harmed because of the color of their skin. That is not equality. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says we are one blood, one race. Nobody wants that. But you don't swap the police, which is meant to punish evil and reward good. You don't punish that by giving the reins of power to those who are committing the destructive acts on the street. And that's what we're seeing. So where is the response? Where's this voice of sanity? Really, the only place I've heard it is on radio with very limited TV. And that would be Tucker Carlson, I think, has done probably the best job addressing this on television.
I want to play a clip of Tucker because he's going to compliment what you're saying here. And I think, Michelle, what we've seen in the last month now is the rise of an organization that's almost being sainted. It's called Black Lives Matter.
Oh, they are.
Not only...
You can't oppose them or you're done.
They're staggeringly popular.
Black Lives Matter is now more popular than the president of the United States, and not slightly more popular than the president, much more popular. A survey this week by Rasmussen, a right-leaning pollster, found that 62% of likely voters now have a favorable opinion of Black Lives Matter. At the same time, Rasmussen found that Donald Trump's approval rating was 43%. That's almost 20 points lower. And by the way, Trump was not alone. Black Lives Matter is far more popular than Joe Biden is, too. It's more popular than America's religious institutions, all of them. It's more popular than the media, the Congress, and big business. Black Lives Matter is more popular by double digits than both the Democratic and the Republican parties. It's almost as popular as the U.S. military. It's much more popular than the Pope. The numbers are astounding, but the polls are not the only measure of it. Here's a Black Lives Matter rally from over the weekend in New York. Look at that picture. That is an ocean of people. Ask yourself the last time you saw a candidate for office who was able to draw a crowd like that. The media, in their relentlessly fawning coverage, usually describe Black Lives Matter as an activist group or a protest movement. But that's deception by understatement. Black Lives Matter is not a collection of marchers with signs. It's not a conventional political lobby like Planned Parenthood or the NRA. It's not pressuring Congress to pass some narrow new set of laws. Black Lives Matter is far more ambitious than that. It is working to remake the country and then to control it. It's a political party. As of tonight, Black Lives Matter may be the single most powerful political party in the United States. Nobody says that out loud, but politicians understand it perfectly well. If nothing else, they understand power. They can smell it at great distances. And that's why they're lining up to bow before Black Lives Matter.
And Michelle, I want to read an email you sent me because it ties in with what we just heard here, and that was Tucker Carlson from Fox News. You said this is an important part of what we need to discuss when we record. We need to explain to people they are being manipulated by the left to hate Trump, to blame Trump, then give the reins of power to the left. You said the ultimate goal is to make the U.S. communist, i.e. under the control of a one-world power. The political structure will be communist in this one-world power, and the Bible calls the leader the Antichrist. And then you say, we are watching it happen before our eyes. The only way this could happen is through deception, delusion, and because of a confused, apostatized church. And then you say, CIA analysts have seen these scenes before in countries before a collapse. For former U.S. intelligence officials, scenes of armed clashes and strongman poses are familiar signs of a fraying country. Okay, we definitely have a fraying country, but one of the primary organizations used to fray our country, there are a couple of them, Antifa, another one, but a primary one is this Black Lives Matter. If we visit their website, It's very troubling. We see the clenched communist fist, etc. You said to me in a conversation we had that almost anybody under age 40 has been lied to their entire life, mainly through the educational system. So they're believing all these terrible lies, and they're believing that the Black Lives Matter, whose goal is communistic and to bring down America, hey, this is just a good social justice cause that we need to get behind. Based on Tucker Carlson's little two-minute clip there, I think two-thirds of America thinks that Black Lives Matter is just a good old social justice outfit. Maybe we don't march with them, but we certainly don't condemn them.
Oh, that's exactly right. The image that they are giving to everyone is that we're not going to be mean to blacks, which of course we shouldn't be. Blacks don't deserve to die at the hands of cops. Everyone agrees with that. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about unity in the country? This entire country was agreed that that Minneapolis police officer intentionally murdered George Floyd. But instead, a spark that blew up the entire country. This is exactly how 103 years ago,
yes,
the Communist Party, that's when you saw the communists come into Russia and foment a revolution. And that revolution took over a nation. And we've seen one country after another, the Cultural Revolution in China and Venezuela, which had the second highest GDP in the world. Now they're a communist nation, and people are lucky if they can eat out of garbage cans. I could go through the entire litany of nations that have been taken over by communism. What we have seen on our streets this year, in these last few weeks, is exactly same template as other nations where the communists have come over. The difference is, now in America, those who are under age 40, they have been so marinated in the basic tenets of the communist philosophy. It wasn't called that. And many times it's called socialism. A lot of young people are fine with socialism.
Yes.
But the tenets of socialized medicine, all the rest, they've been marinated in that so long that they think that's normative, that everyone should have equal outcomes, no matter what their inputs are, equal outcomes. Is communism being pushed here in the United States? All of the indicia on the ground is here. It wouldn't surprise me if Minnesota wasn't used as a testing ground for this, because if you look at every person in every level of power in Minnesota, it is outrageous. This happened in the area where Ilhan Omar is the representative. This is not coincidental that an event like this could happen here, because there will be no pushback against these communistic forces.
You have suggested to me, and again, we're confining this comment I'm about to make right now to Minnesota, but again, whatever we're talking about happening here locally could come to your neighborhood, folks, whatever state you're in. But you said to me, and at this point, we don't know how this abolishing the police is going to turn out.
They've already voted for it.
They've already voted for
community groups to take over policing. Let me tell you what that means. I'll decode it. It means that they're going to give some new phony name to Black Lives Matter and to Antifa and to the Islamic Sharia patrols on the street.
All right, that's where I was going. Thank you.
Okay. So those who are on the streets looting, rioting, burning, some of those leaders will be given the authority and money to be the new police on the street. And the police who were formerly on the street will be relieved of that duty. Think of Chicago, Illinois, in the 1920s and the 1930s, when the Al Capone gang extorted businesses and individuals, and they were a criminal syndicate who effectively ran the city. There still was like an Officer Krupke type police force, but it was basically Al Capone who ran the streets. I think that's what we're going to see happen here in Minnesota. And it is all being done because you're seeing this merging of the red-green axis of the Marxists, who would be considered red, and of the Islamic supremacists, who would be green. They're joining forces to bring about a totalitarianism, a type of a communism, if you will, here into the United States. And it's being done in one major metropolitan city after another. It isn't like an attack on the White House, although they did have riots there. It's more insidious. It is one major metropolitan area after another caving to these communistic demands. And they're doing this in the lead up to the election in November. Donald Trump had nothing to do with the death of George Floyd. But within 24 to 48 hours, the Democrat Party was doing voter registration here on the streets while the cities were burning. Yeah. And interestingly enough, what I have read in an article is that all of the data that was being collected by Black Lives Matter and all these groups, it's being shared with the Democrat National Committee. The data is being shared. Don't be naive and not see what's going on in these streets. I believe this is the political campaign for 2020 yeah. because there's an effort to keep people miserable so they can change the guy in charge at the White House.
And here's what's really tragic, Michelle, and we'll talk about this in my second half of the program. The churches, some of them anyway, are falling for it. Folks, if you went to the websites of some of these major church denominations, all you would see is a promotion of Black Lives Matter, and even on some of them, promotion of Antifa, another, again, blatantly Marxist organization with the goals of tearing down America and rebuilding her into the communist and Islamic paradise that they would like to see happen.
And people should know with Black Lives Matter, it's not registered as a 501c3 organization. No one knows who's in charge of it. No one knows what their street address is, and yet people are pouring tens of millions of dollars into it. It's going to Axe Blue, which is also a repository for all the Democrat candidates. But here's what they believe. They believe in the end of Western civilization. They believe in the end of heterosexual marriage. They believe in advancing all the transgender issues. Yeah. They're anti-Jew. Yeah. They want to shut down the traditional norms of society. This has nothing to do with Black lives.
Exactly.
It has to
they don't even care about Black lives.
Exactly. They want to destroy the Judeo-Christian culture that built up yep. the magnificent society that is the United States of America.
Okay.
The only reason we're magnificent is because of the scriptural, Amen. Biblical heritage Amen. That this nation was built on.
We're going to pick this up. I've got to take my middle of the program break. We're coming right back, folks. Don't go away. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
We always like to hear from our listening audience and also how you listen. If you're listening on one of our 900 radio stations, let us know which one. Or let us know if you're listening to one of our online options. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. More with Jan and Michelle in a moment. Jesus prophesied that during the tribulation, there would be a return to the days of Noah. Noah's generation saw genetic manipulation, and we are seeing that taking place today, even before the onset of the time of Jacob's trouble or the tribulation. The depth and depravity of such genetic tampering during that dispensation, from which the church is absent, is staggering. Learn more in Pastor Billy Crone's new 16-DVD, 32 teaching set, Hybrids, Super Soldiers, and the Coming Genetic Apocalypse, found in our online store and print magazine. Jan Markell is a featured guest in this extensive presentation. Mankind is trying to recreate all life forms on our planet today, including recreating humans, but not in the image of God. This is indeed a genetic apocalypse. This is one study you can't afford to ignore if you want to understand the times and be watchmen on the wall. Visit our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444.
Right now, this is America's time, when America is under assault by communist elements, Islamic front groups, the Red-Green Axis, and we're in it. Wake up.
We so appreciate the regular updates given by Michelle Bachmann, our guest for the hour. She served as a member of the U.S. Congress for 8 years and now speaks around the world. Here are Jan Markell and Michelle Bachmann to wrap up today's discussion.
We're about to bring you what has become, unfortunately, a nightly update on the descent of our nation into chaos and craziness, a lot of craziness. For more than 2 weeks, this is really all we've covered. There's that much going on right now. We can't cover it all in an hour. Almost all of it, as you know, all the news, is horrifying. Vandals are defacing our country. They're destroying our cities, our institutions, our civil society. They have no right to do any of that. They don't own this country. They did not build it. The rest of us should not allow them to wreck it, but we are allowing them. And it's infuriating to watch.
Welcome back. I have the privilege of having Michelle Bachmann in studio with me. We're going to continue on here with our discussion. Let me remind you, we're very active on social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. We put our rather visual form of our program on YouTube as well as hischannel.com. So you might want to check that out and check out the various social media places as well. I want to move on here because we've got so much to cover and obviously so little time. The first segment of the program, we talked a little about the destruction from COVID-19, and that morphed right into the riots that we've been seeing going on in the country. We've even got a so-called nation established for a short season in Seattle, Washington. Chaz turned into CHOP, and I don't know where it's going to go. I think they ought to be put out of business. And then Michelle Bachmann and I live in Ground Zero. We live in Minneapolis-St. Paul, as I said in the first half of the program. Both cities, certain segments of it, probably resemble Bosnia during the 1990 war, may resemble Aleppo, Syria right now. They've been destroyed by anarchists who are being lauded from the media to certain politicians, all on the left, celebrating this kind of destruction. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs here from freelance journalist Leo Homan, Revolution Phase One, a campaign of diabolical disorientation. And he says, we are in the middle of Act One of the Second American Civil War. That's not a far-out statement, by the way. Homan says, what we have been watching play out in the streets of American cities in the last several weeks, textbook revolutionary tactics. Problem is, too few Americans have read the textbook. He says, it's important to understand the scenes playing out on stage number one, the streets of Seattle, Minneapolis, Portland, Atlanta, and many other places, as ugly as they may be, are only the first phase of the revolution. This is the prelude, which serves to disrupt and distract. It is but the opening act for what's coming next. It's not a foregone conclusion that we will proceed to Act Two, which will be much more violent and ugly than Act One. But right now, from where I stand, it's looking like 50-50 chance that we will. Activist ringleaders with Black Lives Matter and Antifa have been hired to play the role of disruptor. Black Lives Matter is not bashful about its role as a communist agitator only marginally connected to Black Lives. And I think that's the important thing here, is that we have an organization called Black Lives Matter that really doesn't care about Black lives, which is a tragedy. During the break, Michelle and I were talking about a couple of things. Number one is I want to get into the fact that a lot of church denominations are falling for all of this, and they're putting it front and center. They're preaching on it. They're teaching on it. I get emails every day that their church has drunk the Kool-Aid here, and that the center of the sermons now, this is evangelical churches, folks, is how we have to be supportive of, let's just say, the revolution that's going on, including Black Lives Matter, and be supportive even of Antifa, a blatantly communist outfit. Michelle, during the break, you and I were talking a little bit about the demise of the First Amendment and First Amendment rights here in America in the last 6 months. And again, what's happened in just a few months, it seems like it would take 10 years to have happened. Talk to me a little bit about how our First Amendment rights are fading from the view very fast.
Actually, this has been decades in the making, primarily because of the instruction in the public schools, mm-hmm. but also various cultural impacts in our nation. We've spent decades softening people up. And now in 2020, this year of fear and misery and anxiety and depression, we've seen a loss of liberty in that we have essentially been consigned to solitary confinement. loss of our economic liberty, of our ability to be able to earn an income or perhaps own assets. And then now with the rioting, it's a loss of the First Amendment rights to be able to speak back about this. We weren't allowed to question Dr. Fauci or Dr. Birx or any of the prescriptions that the left told
That's
us
right.
we had to follow with our loss of economic liberty. We weren't even allowed to go out into the streets and protest because we were told we were Typhoid Mary if we went out into the streets and we were going to start COVID again. The second these arsonists were on the street and the rioters and those who were looting, they were considered to have First Amendment rights to loot. But those of us, if we went on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, if we oppose Black Lives Matter, your audience has all seen it.
Yes.
People lost their jobs. They lost their sports contracts, their celebrity contracts, or even if a family member tweeted something. It was breathtaking to see what is known as the cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
Your life was over if you disagreed with Black Lives Matter. And it's also called a shut up culture. You are not allowed to say anything. You have no rights to disagree with us. This is the red flag of what communists do when they come in to take over a country because you lose the right to oppose them. The second thing that they do, this was written by Marx and by Engels, they destroy a nation's history. Here in Minnesota, right out the window of our governor, we had these thugs tell the governor, we're going to pull down the Christopher Columbus statue at 5 o'clock today. They knew it. The commissioner of public safety was asked earlier in the day, what are you going to do about the Christopher Columbus statue? No worries. The state patrol protects it. Here at 5 o'clock, the group showed up. State patrol was there. He tried to hand a sheet of paper to the group to say, these are the rules about taking down statues. And then the state patrol walked away. Knowing what was going to happen, this group of less than 12 people pulled the statue down, and the governor sided with them,
mm-hmm.
and that statue's down today. And we're seeing that all over America, where America's godly heritage is being literally ripped off its platforms. I hate to give the other side ideas, but it wouldn't shock me that by this fall, we see elementary schools lose their names,
mm-hmm.
Jefferson Elementary, Washington Elementary. We are seeing the erasing of American history. That is one more sign that this is a communist movement to take the United States over for communism. And if we lose these elections this fall, we're never getting it
That's
back
right.
again. When the election happened in Gaza, Hamas came in. There has never been another election. I'm not saying that we won't have elections again after this one if the other side comes in. But whoever the people are that are running, the outcome of that election will be secured. Don't ever think we're going to return to normal in elections again. We won't. Communists don't play that way. Communists play for keeps. Right now, this is America's time. When America is under assault by communist elements, Islamic front groups, the red-green axis, and we're in it. Wake up. And that's why for churches
to not oppose this
is ignorance.
Not only that, we've got Christianity Today magazine saying that we need to give reparations to African Americans. I mean, obviously, there are many churches holding the truth, but many of them are caving to all of this. All you got to do is read the various things that are coming out online from various denominations.
The dereliction of duty stems from ignorance. The scripture is always right. My people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yes.
People are woefully ignorant about evil characters. And for some reason, we're constantly bathed in this water that, evil's not present. This isn't evil. This is good. That is the voice from the pit of hell. That is Satan speaking. We see the blatancy and we're all told not to believe what we see in front of our eyes and we'll lose our livelihood if we say anything. This is the hour for the church to speak out. If we don't speak out between now and November, church, you will be denied your voice. You will be thrown into jail because of your voice. We just saw the Supreme Court came out with an extraordinary decision that imposes sexual anarchy even on religious organizations so that whatever your sexual orientation is, whatever gender you think you are today, no business could fire someone or have any negative impact on that person for those reasons, even if it is a denial of your sincerely held religious rights. This is a full employment act for lawyers to file one lawsuit after another. and it will be Christian organizations. They won't be filing lawsuits against Muslim organizations. They will be filing lawsuits against Christian ministries, Christian organizations, to shut down their First Amendment voice, because we're now in full-bodied the cancel culture and the shut-up culture. We are losing our First Amendment rights, our Bill of Rights, and now is when we have to stand up, and now is when the church has to take the moral righteousness. It's not the looters and the rioters on the street who are morally righteous. Get that in your head. It is the Lord Jesus Christ and his word that will stand yesterday, today, and forever. That is the moral righteousness, and that is to what we repair. That is truth.
I'm going to play a clip here of Curtis Bowers. Some of you know Curtis very well. You've heard him in some of his public meetings. He is the writer-producer of the incredible DVD series Agenda, and that's the communist plot to take down America, and we carry that in our store. He just came out with this statement. I grabbed it offline. I want to play it.
We are really in the middle of the beginning stages of an attempted Marxist revolution. There's a lot going on that needs to be explained so that we understand what's happening in our country right now. The riots, rage, and revolution have nothing to do with the death of George Floyd. Unfortunately, they are simply those Marxist groups that are always waiting in the wings for circumstances to hijack to use to their advantage. The Marxist is always working toward revolution in every way possible. Revolution against traditional values, revolution against morality, revolution against the family, revolution against government, against law and order, against everything. The Marxist groups, and I'll get into a few of them today, like Antifa, the Communist Party USA, Black Lives Matter, the Open Society Foundation, all of those Marxist groups are doing what Marxists always do. They are using people to set up the very system that will enslave those same people. What Antifa is an umbrella organization. It's communistic. Its founders were communist. It is in bed with all the different communist organizations working underneath it. Trevor Loudon, a good friend of mine, has already researched and found over 20 communist groups that have been working under Antifa in the last couple of weeks to stir up these revolutionary riots to try to destroy our country and try to work things into a frenzy of revolution. That's all Antifa is. I'm glad that President Trump now is going to have it classified as a terrorist organization, and hopefully he will do that with many other groups. So we will be able to use the federal government and the FBI to investigate, make charges against, and then to try and convict these people that aren't for the American citizens. They are for the destruction of America so they can implement their totalitarian communist government over all of us. Black Lives Matter was started by three Marxists. A lot of people say, well, Black Lives Matter, that sounds important. And many useful idiots of the evangelical church have already jumped on board being behind Black Lives Matter because they believe it's about signaling to everyone that Black Lives Matter. Of course, Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. But that's not what it's about. All Marxist groups disguise themselves in titles that represent the exact opposite of what they're trying to accomplish. The only thing Black Lives Matter is about is proving that black lives don't mean anything at all. They go in, they stir up the young black people to do things they shouldn't be doing, and then as soon as they're stirred up to do these actions that are going to get them arrested and get them put in prison and get them criminal records which will wreck the rest of their life, they all disappear, of course. All the agitators and the people doing this never to be seen again in those circles. And the poor people that were stirred up to break the law and to commit these crimes are left to hold the bag. Black Lives Matter is simply an organization that is using black people to try to destroy our country. And they must be stopped and exposed for what they are doing.
That was Curtis Bowers. I'm going to have him on air next month, and we'll talk a little bit more in detail about the agenda. It's been an agenda for over 100 years now, and now we see it coming full force into play. Michelle, I want to move on here unless you wanted to comment on anything that Curtis said, because I have another point I want to make, but go ahead.
What Curtis is saying is what we are seeing every single day in streets all across America.
Yes.
You don't even have to believe what Jan and I are saying or Curtis is saying. Look at your eyes. We're all being told by the media, don't believe what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie. And when you persist in a lie, it becomes a delusion. That's why we are living in the most delusional time I ever remember in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. It is completely delusional. And the one place that cannot be delusional is the local church. We have got to talk to our pastors, take them information, and tell them, look, the church has to be a beacon of truth and hope right now. That's what we have to be spreading. We can't go along with this delusion and deception. It may be uncomfortable for us, but I think we have to speak up with our pastors and our church board members and give them good information so that they can preach the truth. We've been captive this year. We've had 6 months of our lives stolen from us so far, and it is time for the captives to be set free.
And interestingly enough, we do not find America in Bible prophecy. Now, there are some who say, well, she's here or there, but you're stretching scripture to find her in the Bible. That's not saying that America's going away, but is her influence going away? The stabilizing influence, the economic influence. That's another reason why what happens in early November here, 2020, is so important. And it's why we've been saying what we've been saying here for almost an hour, that there's an effort afoot to disrupt everything, including disrupt our election,
because
get a president out of office.
People want to go back to normal, and people think this will all just settle down and we'll go back to normal. I'm just here to tell you, I've lived in this political world. I ran for president myself in 2012, and I can tell you, they're playing for keeps. This is hardcore stuff. There will never be going back to the America we knew prior to January of 2020. There never will be going back to that normal. What you're experiencing now with Black Lives, this is going to be our normal. This kind of dissembling and denial of rights, denial of equal protection under the law, return to the days of Al Capone and extortion on our streets, that's our future. If we give in to this fear and the delusion, and we give the keys to the political kingdom over to people who have unleashed on our streets this communism and this dissension.
Michelle, last time you were on air with me, we concluded, and we did a two-part series, again, that goes back to April, and folks, you can find that on my website, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to radio, and then you'll see our archived programming there. You can find it on our YouTube channel under Jan Markell. You can find it at oneplace.com. You go back to the first part of April, I did 2 weeks with Michelle. Quite frankly, Michelle, you were going into quarantine at that time because you'd been traveling, and you came back on an empty plane to an empty airport. This was in March. That's behind us, but a lot of things happened since then. Stunning, shocking. And some things are ahead of us that could be equally stunning and shocking. But at that time, you talked about the connection between what had happened with COVID-19 and what happened about the same time, and that was the so-called, I hate the term, deal of the century. You're in the process of reaching out to our president, and you have reached out in the past, and you've talked to some of the highest leaders in the land about the importance of the land of Israel and not dividing the land and the covenant that the Jewish people have with the land. Bring us up to date, because I know you want to end this hour with the importance of America not touching the land of Israel, which we are in the process of doing. And I want to quickly add that President Trump has been the most pro-Israel president that Israel has had in her 72 years. So we want to clarify that we're so thankful for that.
We are. The scripture is clear. The scripture is true. And it's very clear that God has said in his word unequivocally that we are to bless Israel. We're to bless the Jewish people, and we are to protect the Jewish way of life. Joel chapter 3, 1 through 3 is equally clear. There is only one criterion upon which God will judge the nations. And that criterion is how nations have treated Zion. As you have rightly stated, no American president ever in our nation's history has done more to bless Israel than Donald Trump. And I was invited to the White House, to the East Room, to attend the unveiling of the peace plan that was put together by the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Prior to that, for the 3 years that President Trump was in office, I said it here on your show. I said it to everyone in D.C. that I could. The one thing the president can't get wrong is Israel.
That's right.
He cannot get that wrong because of the consequences to a nation. Those ramifications are sure. Throughout Scripture, it is stated very clearly. It is this: you cannot divide the land of Israel. You cannot divide the Jewish people from their physical land, and you cannot divide Jerusalem, which is God's eternal throne. God has an eternal covenant that he made in Genesis 15:18, right, that forever that land is to be given only in covenant promise to the Jewish people for a Jewish homeland. We all know that the Jewish people were scattered from the land as a form of judgment for disobeying the covenant and the word of God. But God promised out of his love that forever and ever they would be returned to the actual land that he assigned to them. He would miraculously bring them from all four corners of the earth back. Within the lifetime of even some of your listeners here, at the conclusion of World War I, the Ottoman Empire broke up. Miraculously, the nations of the earth, the victors, the allied nations, got together in 1920. They made a stunning decision. In 1917, the Lord spoke to Lord Balfour, and he said, the Jews need to return to their homeland. The Spirit of God was speaking to him. And I have never seen this before in history, where the five allied main victors of World War I came together in San Remo, Italy. They struck an agreement, and the agreement said this: we will make international law, the Balfour Agreement, which says it is now time for the Jewish people to return to their homeland, will enable them to do that. And the British people, the greatest empire that the world had ever seen, was given that mandate. And they also said that the parameters, the geographical boundaries of that land, would be in accordance with what the Bible says. When God gave those contours of the land, that will be the homeland of the Jewish people. The Brits went forward and they started that process. And in the San Remo Agreement, it said that the nations would help the Jews to return to that land. It was the deal of the century.
Yeah.
It was the greatest plan because it agreed 100% with Scripture. It was miraculous. But like so many things that happens in history, man chickened out. And pressure was put against Britain by the Arabs, by other nations. And little by little, the greatest empire the world had ever seen, with the greatest vision and opportunity, the golden opportunity to help the Jews return to their land, Britain tooped out. And they kept dividing Israel, and they walked back from their commitment to the point in 1948, the Brits washed their hands of Israel, and they said, you're on their own. And the Jews were being attacked as the Brits walked away. You saw the British Empire fall down in influence. So whereas they held together the peace under Pax Britannica, silently, the Lord worked this out so that the baton of global power was transferred to the United States, so that we went from Pax Britannica to Pax Americana, and the United States became the leader in the world economically, socially, foreign policy. We were the leader. That happened, and the United States, under Harry Truman, who recognized Israel's statehood in 48, and it wasn't until when we saw Donald Trump recognize Jerusalem. Now, on January 28th, 2020, yes, a plan was revealed that envisioned a dividing of the covenant land and a division of Jerusalem. Since that time, we have seen nothing but distress. The Bible speaks of that in Zechariah. Anyone who burdens themselves with a division of Jerusalem will be cut themselves upon a rock. Nations will be destroyed, Isaiah 60 says, if they do not follow the word of God. Messiah will judge nations, Psalms 2:12 says. It's very clear. That's why this warning was given to various high officials prior to the release of this plan. Now warnings are given again that perhaps this distress could be removed from our nation. That if we would withdraw the maps in this plan that envisions the division of the biblical land and the division of Jerusalem, could it be that in part, the reason why we have seen this unparalleled historic distress from going again 100 years later, paralleling what happened to the British Empire, exact replica parallel of us, the greatest nation the world has ever seen, more powerful, more prosperous. We too are being pulled down as we got behind a plan that envisioned this division. This is very important now that we reaffirm what is still international law, the San Remo Agreement, that Israel has full sovereignty over her land, including Judea and Samaria, and that Jerusalem is an eternal, undivided city and must never be divided. I would call upon the White House to withdraw that plan. And it just may be that the Lord in his grace and mercy may likely lift the distress upon our land, even in our time, and resume his hand of favor, which was so clear and evident until January 28th of 2020. And that is my request. That is my prayer. I love our president. I pray for him daily. I just ask the question, in light of Scripture, in light of the day that we live in, could it be that this distress could have in part been caused by this? And could it be that this distress would be relieved if action would be taken to come into conformity with a clear word of God?
Michelle, thank you for coming in today. Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself cannot stand. Matthew 12:25. But government reform and even executive orders from the president are not the answer for America. National repentance and a turning back to God is a good start. God has been rudely shown the door in our country and asked to leave every aspect of American society for the last 50 years, and that has consequences. Can we turn this around? Well, we can try. Let's be salt and light and delay the decay. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
You are the healer, Jesus Redeemer, mighty.
Even though we are in the predicted perilous and lawless times spoken of in the Bible, there is hope in Jesus Christ. If you feel overwhelmed by fear and uncertainty, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today for salvation and for peace that passes all understanding. Know that things really aren't falling apart. They are all falling into place. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. And look up, your redemption draws nigh.